Let us turn to God's word for our instruction, the Psalm 46. This is the word of God. Come, let us hear the word of Almighty God. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Thus far, reading of God's holy and precious, infallible, sacred word. We pray that he will bless it to us here in this place this evening. May he bless not only that reading, the public reading of his word, but the preaching, the expounding of it, so that we may live to the glory of his name and to the good of our souls. Turning your prayerful attention once again to that psalm, Psalm 46. Now, this evening, with the Lord's guidance and enabling, I pray that he will enlighten our hearts and minds to his word here and make it very clear and precious to us. And I want to particularly think tonight and meditate on the words found in the verse 1 of this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I suppose this could be called the main theme of this psalm. The psalm, we see a lot of trouble, a lot of calamities, a lot of disasters, whether in the world or in our own lives. And we read these words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, there are three things I want to say by way of introduction this evening, and then there will be, God willing, three things from this verse itself. Firstly, we're going to think about the source of the psalm, and then secondly, the context of this psalm, and then thirdly, the uniqueness of this psalm. There's something rather unique about this psalm. Now, first of all, the source of this psalm. Of course, all scripture, are we not told, is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is all part of the Scripture. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ referred to Holy Scripture in terms of the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. And certainly the Psalms are inspired by God. This is his inspired word, and you will see that here this evening, because even God speaks in the midst of this psalm in the verse 10. We read the words of Peter, don't we? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1 and the verse 21. So it is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out. We speak of plenary inspiration of the scriptures. God has spoken. Now, there was a human penman someone who wrote this psalm under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. God gave a man to write his holy word here. We're not entirely sure who it was. We're not told. There are many psalms written by David, many by Asaph. We know of one written by Moses, the Psalm 90. But we're not told here. It could possibly be David or maybe Asaph. But we do read that it is to the chief musician for the sons of Korah. Korah, as you know, was the great-grandson of Levi. And the sons of Levi, part of their responsibility in the temple as Levites, were that they were involved in singing in the temple. They were involved in lots of things, but they were particularly to be involved in singing in the temple. If you turn with me to 1 Chronicles, the chapter 15, and you notice the verse 20, David appointed various people in the temple to do certain things. And we read concerning this Alamoth, 1 Chronicles 15 in the verse 20, and Zechariah and Aziel and Shemiramoth and Jehiel and Uni and Eliab and Maaseiah and Benaiah with psalteries on Alamoth. So here it is, a song upon Alamoth. And here the sons of Korah were to sing this psalm upon Alamoth. Now, what is Alamoth? There's been much discussion about this word Alamoth. Some suggest it was perhaps a high-pitched instrument sung to, or a voice with very high notes, perhaps a soprano, or higher strains of voices that would certainly suit the tone and the essence of this psalm. When we think about all of these calamities, things are happening at great pace. It's a very intense psalm. Earthquakes, famines. You can imagine sung in a very high-pitched note, very intense. And that's, I think, the very tone and the essence of this psalm. Now, the context of this psalm, what is the context? Well, there is no immediate context of this psalm. We're not told of a particular situation. But the psalmist is speaking about various desolations, various calamities that do take place in the world, even calamities in Christians' lives, your life, my life, difficulties, trials that we go through. But what the psalm does is it expresses the confidence that the believer has in God during those calamities, during those trials, during those afflictions, during those disasters. Those things that take place in our lives. But you also notice in the verse 4, this psalm is filled with deep joy because of that peace that the believer has. Notice there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Now, particularly in the book of the Revelation, God's people are described as a city coming out of Jerusalem. And the Lord speaks in the Psalms of God's people, lift up their heads, O ye gates. That's anthropomorphic language. Language where God speaks to his people who are a city and a city without gates. And the idea is to lift up your head, to rejoice in the Lord, and let the King come in, the psalmist tells us, into that city. And here there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Now, God is pictured in the verse 4 and 5 as this river. Again, I say this is what we call anthropomorphic language. The German Martin Luther, he nailed his 95 theses. He opposed Rome and all of the Catholic teachings, and he stood out as one of the great reformers. Whenever he heard of a church in difficulty, facing troubles, he would say to the church, come, let us sing the Psalm 46 and let the devil do his best. Let the devil come and see what he can do against God's people. Well, what were the grounds of Martin Luther and others thinking just that? Well, have a look at the verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You see that? If God is with us in the midst of our trials, let the devil do his best. Let him do what he can. God is with us. God allows these trials. God brings them into our lives. Well, God is with us. Therefore, we take comfort. Now, brethren, you and I continue to experience many things in life, don't we, as Christians? We have trials. We have Sometimes trials we just don't understand. We don't sometimes know why they come. And they leave us bewildered, don't they? They leave us dumbfounded. We just don't know what to say because we can't make head or tail of them. We can't make sense of them. However peculiar or tragic they may be, we know this, that nothing takes place without God's will, without His sovereign decree and His eternal purpose, which He has purposed even in Christ Jesus for them that love Him and them that are called according to His purpose. And so every trial, every difficulty comes by God's sovereign directive, by His command, and we are to rejoice. No matter what happens, God is with us. The verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, if you're a Christian, you have the wonderful refuge. Well, because you've hidden yourself in Christ. Our lives are hidden, Paul says, in Christ. We are trusting in His blood and His righteousness. And He is our Lord. And He says of us in Song of Solomon that we are His dove in the clefts of the rock, and that we are to hide ourselves in Him. But He says, don't hide from me. Hide in me, but don't hide from me. Our refuge is God, and that's where our trust is. Now, if you look at the verse 8, he brings about these desolations. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made in the earth. God, friends here, who is sovereign, who orders these things, God who is awesome in power, He brings about these destructions. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made. Whenever we read of an earthquake in the newspaper, we hear of some disaster, God is behind it. Not that He loves death, but He's warning men and women and children to repent. In the book of the Revelation, we read that these are trumpets, warning sounds. When somebody is sick, when somebody is ill, sometimes we pray, yes, they get better. But we need to pray, well, Lord, if it's Thy will, let them continue to be ill until their hearts are spoken to. Sometimes we pray for our relatives and we just keep praying, will they get better, will they get better? Well, it might be the Lord's will that they're not going to get better. Even us as Christians, we go through trials and difficulties and we're in an illness for many years. Remember how the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, we don't know what it was, but he prayed 3 times that the Lord would remove it. And the Lord said no. He said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in thy weakness. Now our Heavenly Father is not impersonal. He knows our situation even better than us. He knows our anxiety. He knows our weaknesses. And this is why He's left us His word for our comfort and for our instruction, that we might look to Him. Who, have a look in our text, the verse 1, is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, again, have a look, verses 4 and 5, just very briefly. This language here may be described as what we call idiomatic or anthropomorphic. God here is spoken of as a river in the midst of His church. Notice, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Already explained that the city of God are God's people. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, God is in the midst of her. God, like this river, in the midst of this city, makes His people glad. Now that fits the language of Revelation 22:1. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Of course, God is not the river. But the river that flows from God makes glad the city, God's people. And this is meant to convey that all source of joy and happiness and peace comes not from us, but from God, who is in the midst of His people. Now notice, He not only makes wars, but He ends wars. Verse 9, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now notice, thirdly, the uniqueness of this psalm. And the uniqueness is the verse 10. You notice something rather unusual about this verse 10 out of all the psalm. And what is it? Well, the rest of the verses of the psalm speak about God's attributes, His nature, what He's like, what His character is. And they're all in the third person. It's all about God. The psalmist is declaring these things about God. But then all of a sudden, in the verse 10, God speaks. And it's like this. All the calamities are happening. There's all this devastation and chaos, it seems. But all of a sudden, the voice from heaven comes, "Be still and know that I am God." God speaks. One time in the midst of all of this trouble and calamity, and God says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And that's the only time God speaks in this psalm. And it's like that to remind us that sometimes God is very silent in our troubles. But then all of a sudden, he says, "Be still, know that I am God." God did this, and therefore we are to be still. And this ought to make us surely put our hands over our mouths and be silent when trouble happens. God is here. Be still. God is in control of your life and your situation. Now, there are three things as we look at the verse 1 this evening. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, that fits wonderfully, doesn't it, with the verse 10, where God says, "Be still." Despite what's going on around, we read these words, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now, three things I want to think about this evening. Number one, God. And then secondly, trouble. And then thirdly, help. Very simple. God, trouble, help. So let's think first of all, God. We could spend all night, couldn't we, thinking about God. But let's just for a few moments think about God. God, who is the very best of beings. The psalmist says, "It's good for me to draw near to God." Why? Because God is the very best of beings. He can only do us good. God, who is from all eternity past and will go to all eternity future. God, who is love. God, who is perfect. God, who can do us no harm. He who spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? God, not man. God, who is good. Remember the Lord Jesus, the man came running up to him, said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Why callest thou me good? Only one is good, and that is God." And of course, he is God, but that young man didn't recognize that. God alone is good. God, who is the very best of beings. God, who never lies. But God, who is infinitely wise in counsel and in knowledge. God, who is never unkind to his people. God, who loves his people more than they love themselves, and who knows them infinitely more than they know themselves. God, who knows every single thing in this world, in this universe, and what is going to take place in the next, the new heavens, the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. God, who in mercy sent his Son while we were sinners, Christ died for us. God, who is infinite in love, showing mercy. God, who has begun a good work in you. This is why he is an ever-present help. He began that work when you were helpless, and I were helpless, when we were without hope. God, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God. God who orders all things that come to pass, even for our good. And God who in mercy sends us trials and delivers us out of them. God who says, "Be still." Have a look at verse 10. "And know that I am God." In other words, not you. I am God. Very often When things go wrong, we want to tell God what to do. God says, be still and know that I am God. And notice something else. Be still and know that I am God. I'm not man. God is infinitely wiser than us. And notice something else. Be still and know that I am God. In other words, despite all the things that are going on around you, I continue to remain God. I haven't left my throne. I haven't taken my eyes off you. And he never will. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. The eyes of God were upon Peter, even when Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord knew that. And the Lord had prayed for him. He was God, even there on the cross. He remains God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, secondly, trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Trouble. We have many of those, don't we, in our lives? Many troubles, sickness, persecution, death even, joblessness, all kinds of things. We read in Job, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. When you look at a fire and you see the sparks flying up, that happens every time, doesn't it? You throw wood in the fire. And what we read there in Job, the Word of God is saying, this is what is going to happen in man's life. And it's so because of sin that came into the world. Illness, death, disease, no matter what. Affliction, persecution from others because they're sinners. Loss, trial, crosses. You name it. Trouble. Psalm 34, the verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Hear that, child of God? You're going through a trial right now? Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Have you had many afflictions? Yes, the child of God has. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, look, delivereth him out of them all. Now why? Because the righteous waits on God. The unjust, the empty professor doesn't wait. Our Psalm 46:10 says, be still. And when God says be still, that means wait. Wait in your difficulty. Wait in your trial. There's a reason. Be still and know that he is God. He hasn't left his throne. He's in charge. He sees everything. He beholds the evil and the good. He beholds everything. The Apostle Paul knew what it was. He was a man that had many afflictions in his life. He says, but we have this treasure. He's speaking about the treasure of the gospel. In earthen vessels, that's our body, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. And then he says, we are troubled on every side. The Apostle Paul, dear friends, went through afflictions many of us would not experience in our lives. Beatings, Lystra. Don't know how he made that. Nearly died there. And then he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. The Lord doesn't forsake. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Dear friends, we read of Paul's words in Romans chapter 5, that we glory in tribulation. Why? Because we know that God is working out his purposes in the child of God. and that he will glorify himself in the fires of our affliction. God will manifest Jesus Christ in us, in our mortal flesh. Isn't that amazing? What a privilege that is, to think that Jesus Christ will be manifest, will be seen by all men in us. When we go through troubles, and God says, be still. No, I'm doing something. Don't be vexed. Don't be troubled. Don't be dismayed. I am God. And I am working out a glorious purpose to the good of your soul and to the glory of my name. So, we've seen God. We've seen trouble. We're all going to face trouble in our lives as Christians. But lastly, help. Help. Look at the verse. God is a very present help in trouble. We've thought about the awfulness of trouble. Some things are so troublesome, aren't they? The car doesn't start. Something goes wrong. We can't fix this or that. But with God, there's help. Sometimes with men, the help they can give only goes so far. We've got a friend, he can maybe comfort us, something like that. But what happens when things especially go beyond our control or beyond our power to fix? Well, the help God gives is a million times better than man's help. It's true help. Help, what a wonderful word. This help comes from God. God is a very present help in trouble. Look, notice, he's a very present help. That's the difference. There's some people, they can help you, but they can't get to you. They're on the end of a telephone, and they can't come to you and meet that need that you've got. But the scripture says here, God is a very present help. He's right here with his people. He is in them, he's with them, he's all around, he's omnipresent, and he's omnipotent. In the Psalm 139, if you turn there with me, in the verse 17, notice what the psalmist says. Verse 17, Psalm 139, verse 17. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. So this is God's thoughts toward us. How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Imagine that. God's thoughts toward us, they are more in number than the sand. Are far more than our thoughts toward ourselves. That we cannot fathom. But notice, if I should count them, the psalmist says, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Where? In God's thoughts. Still with thee. What a precious promise that is. To know that we, being the apple of his eye, never takes his heart, his mind off us. Ever. If you turn to Psalm 50, the verse 14, the psalmist says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me, God says, in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why? Because God is an ever-present help. God says, call upon me. There, child of God, is your invitation. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. What a joy it is to be a child of God. God says, be still and know that I am God. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Well, in what way does God deliver us? Well, so many ways. But let me say this first. Our hope in God is never more valuable as when we are going through seasons of trouble. Think about it. We don't value God as much as we do as when we're in trouble. It's always the way, isn't it? I say that to my shame. I'm sure you'd say that to your shame. We value something, don't we? When we need it the most. And God delights to show himself in our trouble, because he is a very present help in time of trouble. Whether it's sickness, he'll help you through it. He'll give you courage. He'll give you strength. In the sickness, he'll sanctify you through it. He'll draw you closer to himself. And if it's his will, he'll remove the sickness. He's preparing you for something better. He always is. If it's persecution, he'll help you through it. God says, call upon me in the day of trouble. This was Paul's experience. This is why Paul could say there in 2 Corinthians, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. When we go through the trial, he helps us to bear it. And he helps us to improve by it. Thank the Lord for trials. This is why James says we are to count it all joy when we go through a diversity, trials and difficulties. And when we go through trouble, trials, distresses, we draw nearer to him in a way that we don't know at other times. And that's how the Lord does it. It's good to feel our need for him. It's good to know he's there. It's good to know that he is a very present help. And remember this, whenever trouble comes, grace comes. Whenever trouble comes, God supplies the grace for the trouble. My grace is sufficient for thee, and he giveth more grace. And God will be that ever-present help to help you rise above the trouble and to shine as stars in a dark universe. Child of God, never doubt his love. Never doubt his wisdom, especially when you don't know his leadings. We never really do know his leadings, do we? Till we're through it. We have to trust him. Job could say, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now notice the verse 5 of this Psalm 46. You see, here's the theme. God being a very present help in trouble. Notice, God is speaking, or rather the psalmist here, by the inspiration of God, is speaking of the city. And notice, God is in the midst of her, verse 5. She shall not be moved. And here it is, God shall help her. And that right early. What does that mean, that right early? That means no sooner, no later, just at the right time, God helps. He won't leave the child of God to wait any longer than he or she should have. Don't judge him by feeble sense. There's that hymn, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. What a gracious God. The psalmist says in that Psalm 20, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. The God of Jacob. Think of how Jacob, we just thought recently with Laban, how he was helpless. And God provided for his needs and his family's needs. And God delivered him up and away from that man's hand and back into the promised land. And even shall deliver him from his great foe Esau. The God of Jacob is our God. We're even told in this psalm, he is the God of Jacob. And notice here as we close, going back to the verse 5, God is in the midst of her. You see this word, the word midst? Friends, we're in the church of Jesus Christ. In the book of the Revelation, we're told of Jesus Christ who walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He's in the midst of us. And God is always in the midst of his local church. He's always in the midst of his people. And that's the safest place to be. It's to be under his word, to be with his people. And that's where you will have the protection and the blessing of God. Nowhere else. God doesn't bless those people who will not attach themselves to the body of Christ, who will absent themselves. God will not be an ever-present help to them. But God is an ever-present help to such people. And we need to fix our eyes upon him, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ that night when the disciples were rowing upon that boat and the storm blew up there in Matthew 14. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And you know the story. Peter went out on the water and started to walk toward him. And then he saw the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus. And what happened is he began to sink. And that's how it is for us. If we take our eyes off the Lord, we'll begin to sink. But the Lord immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt?" Let us not doubt. God says, "Be still and know that I am God." God is an ever-present help in trouble. Let us draw near to him. He can only do us good. Amen.